darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Blindness can be comfortable. What is even more comfortable than blindness, though, is being blind and not knowing that you are actually blind. This ignorance is actually bliss. In other words, mankind is most comfortable living in darkness, where sin is concealed and where the realities of life are cloaked in blackness. It is easier this way, or so we think. Undeniably, mankind believes that it is a whole lot easier living with blindness and darkness than living with eyesight and light. That is to say, when we are blind, we cannot see, and when we cannot see, we are then able to turn a blind eye to things that bother us. Things such as global cyber threats, currency wars with Russia and China, ISIS, North Korean nukes, Iranian nukes, worldwide organized crime, and worldwide infectious diseases. Certainly, it is comfortable to be blind. It is comfortable to be blind to inconvenient things, such as the 58 million abortions conducted in the United States of America, or to be blind to the breakdown of the family, or to be blind to the attacks upon the institution of marriage, or to be blind to the $18 trillion debt that we have as a country. To tape our eyes shut or to gouge out our eyes is painful, but not as painful as admitting the threats, the calamities, and the distresses around us. It is also much more comfortable to turn a blind eye towards ourselves, to turn a blind eye to ourselves, our selfishness, our stupidity, our selfishness, our sinfulness, our self-absorption. Indeed, we do not like to look into that mirror. We do not want to accept the reality of our sinfulness, and we cannot face our own shadow. Therefore, we believe that blindness is a better alternative and that darkness is our friend. We make blindness our reality. Turn the disturbing nightly news reports of disaster off. Shut that Bible that convicts me, silence those Christian preachers, and tell me that all is well and that no disaster shall come upon me. Tell me that I am special, give me a trophy, give me a hug, and pull the covers over my head. That is the cry of a blind person living in darkness. That is the cry of a spiritually blind person who neither sees nor perceives reality and neither sees nor perceives the kingdom of God. Now, we Christians, we like to think that we are immune to this, that we are not spiritually blind. We like to think that we have a firm understanding on spiritual matters, on reality. However, we must not forget. We must not forget that we have a sinful nature, the old Adam in us, and this sinful nature is as blind as he ever was. This sinful nature of ours actually tries to convince us that we can see with 20/20 vision, but of course we cannot. We are by nature blinder than a bat. Now, with that said, because we Christians carry this blind, sinful nature with us until the day that we die, we actually sing the song of the man's cry for mercy. Every week in the divine service, we sing the blind man's cry for mercy. Permit me to explain. Dear friends, we sing, and at times we speak. We sing and we speak the words cried out by the blind, beggarly man to Jesus. We call it the Kyrie. As we sing and speak the Kyrie, we sing and speak it as the first prayer of our divine service. You know the words that I speak of. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Kyrie. These words come directly from that blind, beggarly man. What this means is that the cry of the blind man is the cry of the church, of the Christian church. That is to say, each and every week that we gather here and that we sing this Kyrie, we are actually crying with the blind man for mercy. We Christians, we recognize our spiritual blindness, that we are like the blind, beggarly man, and that we desire to be relieved of our blindness. And unlike the world that walks around in darkness thinking that they can see clearly, we Christians walk in the light of Christ knowing that we cannot see by our own reason or by our own strength. And like the blind man who was rebuked by those around him, we too may be scrutinized or ridiculed or mocked because our desire to see, it actually clearly exposes the reality that mankind is inherently blind and walking in darkness. The beggarly blind Christian church, that is you and me, the church, it cries out loud in the midst of a world gone mad, Lord, have mercy. And the world yells back, shut up, you weak, blind, beggarly fools. These rebukes, though, these rebukes of the government and unbelievers will not be able to silence our cry for mercy because the church knows that we are poor, miserable sinners in thought and word and deed. We know that the world is perishing and we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that we need the Son of David. We know that we need the Messiah. We know we need the one who makes all things right. We know that we need Jesus. The church knows that Jesus hears our cry despite the loud rebukes of the world calling the church to silence. The church knows that Jesus stands still long enough to hear our cries for mercy and then answers this cry with his good and gracious will for us. The church knows that the cry of mercy, the cry of the blind, beggarly man, is not bothersome to Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. As we cry the blind beggar's prayer, the Lord indeed answers our cry. We hear the Lord's word to us and for us. Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Take and eat, take and drink. You are baptized, you are forgiven. Jesus Christ, he healed the blind man because he loved him. And he grants you and me eyes to see because he loves you and me as well. Truly, Christ, he opened our eyes of faith when we were baptized, being taken out of darkness and put into the light. Furthermore, he opens our eyes of faith again and again and again by his spoken word to us. and with our eyes opened, we no longer sit by the side of the road like the beggar, but we are taken to Mount Calvary with Jesus. Yesterday, with our eyes opened by the Lord's grace to see, and with this sight to see, we go with Jesus into the season of Lent. We're taken with Jesus to see that everything that was written about him by the prophets will be accomplished. We're taken with Jesus to see how he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. We're taken with Jesus to see the flogging, the crucifixion, and the empty tomb. Dear baptized saints, we stand at the edge of the season of Lent. From this point forward, we actually go to Jerusalem, and there's no turning back. We go to Jerusalem following Jesus like the once blind beggar did. We go to Jerusalem to witness and to see what true love is. We go to see that love is not a superficial, erotic, fuzzy feeling, but that the love of the Lord acts for mankind, for you and for me. We go to see that this love keeps no record of wrong. It does what our love cannot do. It reconciles mankind to God, making you and me, beloved children, forgiven. Dear baptized saints, this Lent and Easter season, see again Jesus Christ determined to march to the cross for you. See again Jesus Christ bloodied and bruised and flogged and crucified all for you. See again Jesus Christ bearing and forgiving sin for you. See again Jesus Christ defeating the devil for you. See again Jesus Christ descending to hell to proclaim victory over the evil foe for you. See again Jesus Christ risen from the jaws of death for you. See again and again and again what true love is for you. Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Behold the Christ whose love no hatred and no suffering and no mockery and no scorn could ever destroy. Behold the Christ, the light no darkness could ever overcome. Behold the Christ. Yes, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Behold the Christ Jesus, who is all for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.